hands up. Don't bother you.
That'll be fine. We're glad to be with you all here today. I believe this is the first time I've been back at this church since my illness. And I wanted to just let you know how much I appreciate your financial generosity. This church sent me at least two generous donations during that time. I very much appreciate it. The Lord has provided for us in a bountiful way. And I'm not 100% yet, but I feel like I'm getting better, and I look forward to being able to enjoy the church more as I continue to improve. I want to read to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I believe that I could relate my experience not only with this church, but with many other churches in these verses. Notice what the Apostle Paul says: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then he says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. How thankful we ought to be for the fellowship we have in the gospel.
Amen.
Now, in the religious world, if you hear the word gospel used, it might be used in a very general, vague, indistinct way. But in the New Testament, whenever you read about the gospel, you're reading about something very precise. Because the Apostle Paul, who wrote these verses, also wrote in the Corinthian letter and referred to another Jesus. And he wrote to the churches of Galatia and referred to another gospel. And he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, that means that would change or corrupt, the gospel of Christ. Now, I know that it's not necessary for me to spend a whole lot of time on this point, but we understand the precise message of the gospel to mean that Jesus came to save his people from their sins, and he did it.
Amen.
We believe that those that he saved were chosen by God the Father in Christ before the world began. We believe they were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And we believe that all of them have or will be quickened by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that that quickening, that regeneration, that new birth is a sovereign work that's accomplished solely by the Spirit of God, independent of the church, independent of the preacher, independent of any of the efforts of man.
Amen.
So all the ones that God chose and loved, all the ones that Jesus died for, will be saved vitally by the Holy Spirit, and heaven will be their home. Those that end up in heaven will be all of those that God loved in Christ before the world began.
Amen.
Now, we are so confident in that message and so rejoice in it that it might be easy for us to take it for granted that we'll always have this knowledge or we'll always have this understanding. And yet we can read through the scriptures and see what happened over long periods of time with God's people in the past and realize that we can lose this blessing.
Yeah.
And I want us to see for a little while this morning how this has happened to God's people in the past, and maybe we'll not be as prone to take it for granted, because I've been blessed with this understanding my whole life. And many of you have as well. Some of you may appreciate it more than I do because perhaps you were brought up being taught that salvation is by works, or salvation depends on some effort of man or the church. And so once you came to embrace grace and the finished work of Christ, you have perhaps a greater appreciation for it. But let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and as we look at several verses, I want us to keep in mind that we're covering hundreds of years. But you know, if you can see what happened over hundreds of years in history, it can help you realize how important it is to consider history. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning with verse 6. Now, you understand that at this time, God had given His word, His revelation of truth, to a particular nation of people. You know, sometimes people say, well, it wouldn't be fair if God did this, or it wouldn't be fair if God did that. Well, God didn't check with anybody to see if it was okay to love and bless Israel. And notice how they're described here. He says, "Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." There we are. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Why, God just wasn't fair, was he? He chose Israel. Now here, we're not dealing with eternal election.
No.
We're not dealing with the entire elect family of God, of which we have a sweet hope that we are a part of. We're dealing with God's choice of a physical, visible, literal nation in the Old Testament to whom he would give his law. So he says, "The Lord hath chosen thee," listen, "to be a special people above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So here we see the Lord didn't say, "I got to make sure I don't offend any other nations. I got to make sure I treat everyone exactly the same." No, the Lord chose Israel to be a special people above all other people. Now, why did he do this? Verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people."
Yeah.
Well, why did God choose them? "But because the Lord loved you."
Amen.
Why did the Lord choose Israel? Because he loved them. Why did he love Israel? Because he wanted to. It's that simple. He wanted to. "And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." Notice the blessing and promise that God made to Israel. And I believe in principle this still applies to the Lord's New Testament church today.
Amen.
Notice what he said. God describes himself as one that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. You know how you and your children and grandchildren can continue to enjoy God's blessings? Keep his commandments.
Amen.
Did not Solomon tell us at the end of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter? As you look at the vanity and the emptiness of this life, that is, when you view life without consideration of God, it's all vain, it's all empty, it's all void. But we're to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God made that promise. And God said he will keep his commandments, or he would keep his promise to those that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Now, let's go forward about 700 or 800 years. See, as I said, that's one of the great benefits of having the scripture, is you can look over a broad span of time.
Amen.
Notice in Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. This is a different group of people now.
Right.
I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts.
Yeah.
That sound like America today? Does that sound like the temptations we have today?
Yeah.
Walking after their own thoughts. Well, what do you feel about it?
Right.
What's your thoughts on this? What's your thoughts on gay marriage?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on abortion? Yeah. Well, our thoughts really don't matter.
Amen.
And we don't want to go by our thoughts.
Yeah. Right.
The Bible always condemns men when he does that which seems right in his own eyes. The fact that you feel good about it and comfortable about it is not the determining factor. That's usually a need to take caution. Because the more culture turns against the Word of God, the less comfortable it is going to be with you to stand on the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
And that's what he says here. Notice he says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. This is that same people that God promised his blessings to. The Lord says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. They say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. That's an attitude that is very displeasing to the Lord, isn't it? When he said, when you are saying, I am holier than somebody else. Now let's move forward about 600 or 700 more years. And if you can prove me wrong on that, it's okay. We're just considering hundreds of years in a very general way. But look in Matthew chapter 23. And here we're still concerned with this people that the Lord said he would bless for 1,000 generations if they kept his commandments. And now Jesus is speaking to them. Jesus is here on earth and he's preaching to them. And he says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And notice here, Jesus is saying, You kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you. You say, well, we're not like that. Well, if you ever catch yourself saying, well, my pastor, he preached on this, and I was really bothered by it. That offended me. The question needs to be, did he preach God's word?
That's right. Right. That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that we should be unconcerned about our manner of preaching and the way we present things, but you know, our personalities aren't perfect. The main thing is he preaching the Word of God? Is he telling you what the Scriptures teach? And if you're offended by that, if you're saying, well, I don't know if I believe that anymore, we can see how easy it is to start to drift away from the Word of God. And notice here, Jesus says, You kill the prophets, stone them that were sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. Now go forward just a few years. Maybe 30 years. And Paul says in Romans 10, Brethren, my harsh desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Right.
What was Israel's problem? Ignorance.
Yeah.
Ignorance can be a big problem, and it is today, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah.
We're so uninformed, so we have so little knowledge of the truth of God's Word. There's so many areas of life that people are struggling with today that could be resolved with the knowledge of God's Word. And here was a people that God had chosen and made a special people above all other people on the earth. And he said, I'll keep my covenant with them that keep my commandments. I'll keep it unto 1,000 generations. And this people had the Word of God, and no other nations on the earth did. But when they began to worship false gods and turn away from God, he was very long-suffering with them, but ultimately they lost out on the blessings of God.
Amen.
Entirely. And we can too if we're not careful. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. What was that verse we read in Isaiah 65 when they said, we're holier than thou? What an arrogant attitude.
Yeah, amen.
The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. You see yourself today as one that knows the truth of the gospel, and you can rejoice in that and rest in that. May we not be high-minded. He says, thou wilt say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Be not high-minded, but fear. You know, the older we get, the more trials we go through, whether it be in the church or whether it be in family or physical sickness or worldliness or whatever it may be. But oh, how we ought to be thankful.
Amen.
For the truth we have.
Amen.
How we ought to be able to thank God every day that we understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, and this is speaking here of Israel, if God didn't spare them, right. Take heed, he says, lest he also spare not thee. God is not obligated to us in any way as far as gospel blessings are concerned. But I'll tell you this, he's going to have somebody somewhere praising him and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And if we don't give it to him, and if we don't esteem his word, he's going to give it to somebody somewhere, and somebody is going to be worshiping God for the truth of his grace. And here he's saying, if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. You know, people don't like to focus on these two aspects of God, do they? But it says, behold the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. It was severe what happened to Israel. They lost it all. And we'll notice in just a moment how they lost it. But he goes on to say, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off.
Amen.
This doesn't have a thing to do with eternal salvation.
Thank you.
But this has everything to do, as Elder Harold Hunt said one time, this has everything to do with everything worth having this side of heaven.
Amen.
That's what's under consideration here, isn't it? Everything worth having this side of heaven. He says, but look at verse 23. Notice this. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
Yeah.
You know, the apostles asked Jesus one time, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus essentially said, it's not for you to know. That's my business. But I'll tell you this, God can take it from people and give it to somebody else. And if he wants to give it back to those people hundreds of years later, he can. God is sovereign in that. He's going to give it to a people that are bringing forth the fruits of his kingdom. They're going to be given the truth. You know, it's only been just within the last about 25 years that our people preach the gospel to other countries. I can well remember when it was unheard of for the gospel by primitive Baptists in America to be taken to other countries. I can remember when I didn't know of anybody that had done that. But the Lord has opened doors.
Amen.
And blessed it to be preached. And then he says, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?
Right.
It's more natural for the Israelites to have the gospel than it is for us.
Right.
Because they were given the Word of God throughout the whole Old Testament, and the Word of God that they were given was prophesying about Jesus Christ. See, it's kind of odd and it doesn't fit for us to have the gospel. Isn't that the truth of the matter?
Right.
The truth of the matter is it's more fitting for the Jews to have it.
Right.
But God's going to give it to who He's pleased to give it to you. For I would not have you, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins.
Yeah.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake.
Yeah.
Now that's a strange statement, isn't it? As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. In other words, They're not receptive to the gospel. They're your enemies in the gospel sense, but you benefit from that, you see. You have the gospel. You rejoice in it. And then I like verse 32. Let's go ahead and read these verses. Verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now only a person that believes pure grace understands that verse. God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. In the Old Testament, we could say it this way, in the Old Testament, those Gentiles, his elect children among the Gentiles in the Old Testament, were foreign to the truth of the Word of God. And now today, many of his children among the Jews are foreign in terms of their understanding of the gospel. So God said, I'm just concluding all of my elect in unbelief that I'll have mercy upon all. I tell you, that just knocks the preacher out of the way, doesn't it? Because it's not based on even deciding to believe. It's not based on that. But we do want to bring comfort to God's people.
Amen.
We do want you to believe. Because when you believe, that's the end of the law for righteousness. I want you to believe and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
I'm going to do something just a little bit unusual. Normally we'd stand.